Hello, dear listeners. This is Seymour, Conference of Birds with Amin Beg. Welcome to the seventh and final episode on conflict prevention. In this concluding episode, we will talk about COVID-19 and conflict prevention, challenges and opportunities at local levels. But before we talk local, let's have a cursory look at the global trends and the context first. Dear listeners, we all know that the COVID-19 pandemic situation is highly volatile and unfolding every day, making it very difficult to analyze or predict what will happen next. However, by now it is evident that the coronavirus is having devastating impact not only on the global health system, but also on the global, national, and local economies, politics, education, technology, culture, religion, almost every sector, everywhere the infection is spread. It's truly the mother of all disruptions thus far. Similarly, dear listeners, amid the pandemic, like in all wars and disasters or crisis times, we notice how propaganda, misinformation, and conspiracy theories are spreading like a pandemic. At the global levels, we see blame games, conspiracy theories as to who was responsible for the COVID-19, the origin of the virus, and whether it was natural or man-made. Only time will tell, or perhaps it will remain a mystery, or the dominant narrative will prevail. We don't know now. Dear listeners, we also see that the pandemic has exposed the ruthlessness of the capitalist neoliberal order. It has exposed the inequalities that exist and the profit over people motives of the so-called democracies and developed world. This situation has created an ideological and political debate about the neoliberal model and the kind of globalization we have, as well as the research of the role of state as provider, protector, and benefactor. Dear listeners, let's take a short break. When we come back, we will discuss how all these global changes are creating challenges and opportunities in conflict zones in the developing countries context. Welcome back, dear listeners. In the developing world and countries with active conflict zones, we see that with relative weaker public service delivery systems, it was noticed and widely reported by media and human rights watch groups that the pandemic provided a new weapon in the hands of authoritarian regimes and police states to suppress fundamental freedoms, as well as to stigmatize and oppress ethnic and religious minorities and political opponents. This also was noticed in even developed countries, but it was more pronounced in the developing countries and especially in conflict zones. Many international crisis observers have also reported that states are using non-state actors, social media, as well as state administrative machinery in the name of lockdowns, quarantines, and information control to suppress freedom movements, persecuting rights activists, and in many areas, grabbing lands and actively pushing ethnic, religious, cultural minorities out of the relief packages announced by the government. In some disputed and conflict areas, there were reports of denying 4G internet access, distance learning opportunities through controlling internet access, local mobility, and disrupting supply chains in the name of lockdowns. However, the real challenge is how these SOPs or standard operating procedures, the new bills, new legislations, extraordinary powers that were given to governments will gradually be lowered to pre-COVID times. Is there a real danger that the new normal will not be as normal as people wish it to be, especially in conflict-prone areas, in countries under lockdown even before the COVID crisis, under authoritarian and colonial-type regimes, and weaker participatory governance systems? Similarly, we need to see how these global and national trends are translating at local levels and how local dynamics are impacting post-COVID conflict situations. Let's take a short break. We will be back in a few seconds. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Dear listeners, in most of the mountainous, rural and conflict zones in South and Central Asia, pre-COVID societies were already under multiple pressures due to poverty, prevailing remoteness, marginalization, inaccessibility, weaker public service delivery systems, unaccountable governance models, underdeveloped market systems, coupled with internal conflicts and climate and disaster risks. Community level and family feuds related to family affairs, sectarian divisions, access to control over natural resources, distribution of common inheritance, property, and litigations were common even before COVID. But the lockdowns and the pandemic have but exacerbated the fears. It has exposed the fault line and the ability of individuals, families, local leaderships, political parties, community institutions, religious leaders and the state and government officials to deal with conflict situations. Dear listeners, we have also noticed that, like in all disasters, some opportunists have used the current uncertain situation and restrictions on public mobility as an opportunity and misusing authority using political and official patronage, pursuing their own agenda to encroach on people's rights, assets, and community common properties. Even media reported some government agencies using this as an opportunity went on land grabbing in some areas. Still others are pushing racist, political, sectarian angles when it comes to relief, distribution of relief, containment of the infection, or helping people suffering from infection in lockdown situations. Many unreached and peripheral areas and ethnic minorities felt left out as the pandemic hit everybody. So the general perception in some areas were that the majority richer, accessible and influential got more benefits and more profited more from the situation than the poor and those remoter areas due to lack of political clout as well as excuses of transportation and mobility constraints. Many working class and white collar middle class families with no regular cash income, food security and savings are most affected as they are most vulnerable to any health risk, to the family losing all the tangible and intangible assets as well as family dignity and pride. This situation creates more turbulence and challenges for conflict prevention in post-COVID world, especially for the marginalized groups, as fear, distrust, and risk of losing assets, incomes, and hopes grow. However, dear listeners, there are new opportunities that have emerged locally, which we need to underline and capitalize on. For example, communities, public representatives, political leaders, and the local administration came closer and collaborated in enforcing the SOPs during the lockdown in most of the areas. Similarly, despite some backlash on social media, the communities are reaching out to each other as the infection spread from one community cluster to the other. They are holding fast to the unity and protecting peace and their social harmony. Likewise, social media activism and voluntarism was seen largely positive in terms of creating awareness as well as mobilizing young men and women to respond to the crisis. It was also highly visible that in areas where community institutions are more inclusive, participatory, and had dynamic leadership, people showed discipline and the need, the needy and those marginalized got timely information relative to other areas and have better access and benefited from the packages announced by the government and other social safety nets. Similarly, it is evident that in areas where pre-COVID investments in social and human capital development was relatively higher, it has paired off and has helped in mitigating risks of both the spread of infection as well as absorbing economic shocks due to some degree of diversification of income sources at the household level, with exceptions indeed. And finally, distance learning and online education has got a new traction and people have started using it for knowledge creation, knowledge sharing, and enrolled in new courses during the lockdown, as well as promoting intercommunal harmony, peace building, and tolerance. Of course, this was more actively done in areas where they had internet access and also access to electricity. But in most areas, access to internet or the quality access to internet and electricity was the major constraint, even during the lockdowns. Despite this, many young people have started online startups, businesses, while development and humanitarian agencies, governments, and businesses started extensively using online platforms like Zoom, Skype, WhatsApp, Google Meet, and others for meetings, conferences, and webinars. Dear listeners, that's all for this episode. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we will conclude this talk. Dear listeners, welcome back. In conclusion, we can say that the COVID-19 pandemic has created both risks and opportunities for preventing conflicts. As we understand, there are multiple issues and challenges that cause conflict at local levels, and the current situation has exposed many fault lines, fears, and created opportunities for opportunists, land grabbers, individuals, families, and also the oppressive regimes and administration to control the people and amass power. However, it has also created opportunities for the common people, for the local institutions, for businesses to reorganize, rethink, regroup, strengthen their identities and institutions, brand, do new branding, as well as working together with the government and diverse communities using internet, mobile connectivity, distance learning tools to improve their quality of life and better prepare for the new normal through people-driven agenda and creating more inclusive societies in the post-COVID era. The role of the state and the government public service delivery has come out strongly, and hence the need to making the governments accountable to invest in human development equitably, especially in health and education and in human resource development. The situation has created opportunities for out-of-the-box thinking, innovations, repositioning of institutions, revamping leadership models, reaching out to conflicting parties to resolve all conflicts, and living in peace with each other and with their environments. Dear listeners, that's all for this season and this final episode on conflict prevention. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we will introduce you to the next season and episode. Dear listeners, welcome back. Thank you for listening to this season and the 7 episode. We really appreciate our listeners and the feedbacks that you gave through WhatsApp, Messenger, and Facebook. I've listed topics for the new season that were shared by some of you. Before we start, I would like to give our other listeners the opportunity to give us feedback and suggestions for improvement as to what new topics to discuss in the next season in this COVID times and post-COVID scenario. Stay tuned and stay safe. Thanks for listening.